word says, we're not faithful. He is. And he can't deny himself. He's faithful. That's his name. He is faithful. That's one of his names, right? Faithful, true, right? Hope, life, the way, the truth, you know? So he never lets go of us. And that makes me feel so good, because sometimes I'm like, okay, and it's always God pursuing us, God pursuing us. And we're always the one that's like, okay, I'm good, God. Just let me do my thing over here. So it just makes it's real comfortable. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and of love and a sound mind. So if you're fearing something today, think about it. It's not from the Lord. If you're fearing anything that's coming up in life, if you're fearing what's happening next, who's going to be the next president, what's going to happen to the United States, what's going to happen to here, what's going to happen, that's not coming from the Lord. The Lord has given us peace. Okay, we are at peace with the Lord now. We have peace in this world, even though the world's going to hell around us. We can have peace. Amen. Father, thank you for another day to study your word and to come before you and just be encouraged and grow in the grace and knowledge of you in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we were talking about this today in discipleship, in men's discipleship. I don't think we will ever understand just how much God loves us. I think we will spend the rest of eternity trying to understand the breadth, the width, the depth, the height of his love. It says, no mind has conceived, no one has conceived, nor has entered the heart of man how much the Lord has got, what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And when we understand that, we're continually growing in his grace. The word says, grow in the grace and knowledge of him. And we're just continually amazed by the grace of God, you know, and that's why he first loved us. We didn't first love him. He first loved us. And that's why we can approach a living God. We said, wow, we respond out of that. So we're going to talk today about the impact of one. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. And I don't have any handouts today because the printer is not working at the house. I don't know why. We'll try to figure it out and get you next week. But the impact of one, Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. So we're going to finish up Romans 5 today, and then we're going to move into Romans 6. Next week, you guys don't want to miss next week, because Jennifer is going to be giving a testimony of her life and how she came to know God, how God rescued her, how God has had his hand on her life throughout her life. And it's an amazing story. I know a little bit about it. I want to hear more. I'm going to watch the video next week, because I won't be here next week. Jonathan's going to bring a little bit of the word in Romans chapter 6 as we start in Romans chapter 6. So don't miss out on next Sunday. But the impact of one, and I titled this message, The Impact of One, because as one, like we talked about, one man's sin, through one man's sin entered the world, Adam. And through Jesus Christ, we are now redeemed. We are now saved by him. And so I was thinking about, what's the impact of one person? What's the impact of one person in your life? Because I know I've had many people that have impacted my life. And if you think in your own life, who has impacted you so much that you can still remember them today? And I think of one as my grandmother from Greenville, South Carolina. My grandmother was so invested in me so much, and my grandfather too. But I remember my grandmother, she was a principal of a school, an elementary school, before women were even supposed to be working outside the home. This was in the 1960s. She was a principal of Alexander Elementary School in Greenville, South Carolina. And she would take me with her in the summertime to summer school. And this is the only way I probably ever graduated. Because she would get me so far ahead in the summer that by the time I went to my school in Georgia in the fall, I'm like, I already know all that. I could coast the rest of the year. But she had a big impact in my life. And then you think about people that have had a big impact in your life. I think of another person. The guy's name is Dean Ware. I probably would have never gone to college had not been for my friend Dean. I was working in a little factory, working midnight shift to 8, literally sitting and watching carpet roll. I was a pre-finish inspector. It's a fancy title for you make $2 an hour and you get to stand there all night and look for discrepancies in the carpet. And then you start a little counter and you wait till you don't see anymore. And then you press, and they would go out and cut that section of carpet out and refinish it because it didn't get finished correctly. And I remember just standing there at midnight to 8 a.m. and going home just saying, you know, I just graduated from high school. I'm thinking, where's my life going? Where's my life going? I know I don't want to do this the rest of my life. But I knew the Lord and I knew God had his hand on me. And I had seen God working in my life even before that. And along comes Dean Ware. Hey, Chuck, have you heard about the new college program? They're doing some off-campus classes at the old high school. I said, not really. He says, well, we started last week, but I don't think it's too late. You could jump in. So I remember going to my dad, hey, Dad, what do you think? I'll jump in on these classes. And I remember I made 2 C's and a D. My first quarter in college, I made 2 C's and a D. And I said, well, I think I can do this. I'll go back. And then I made like maybe a B and 2 C's. Well, I'm getting a little better. And I finally ended up, before I graduated college, I finally ended up on the dean's list and the president's list making straight A's. But it just took me a while to get going. Had it not been for Dean impacting my life that way, I don't know. I'm sure God would have worked something out, but it's just the way he uses people to impact your life. So we're going to look at the impact of one today. And we're going to start in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And we realize that we've been studying in Romans here, for all have sinned and done what? Fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody can stand before the Lord one day and say, I never sinned. There's only one man that never sinned, and we put him on a cross, right? And so we all have sinned. And that word sin means literally miss the mark, you know. And so we've missed the mark. So how do we get that back? How do we get right with God? Everybody say, you need to get right with God. Well, what do I got to do? Do I have to do certain things? Do I have to act a certain way? No, you have to believe in him. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, that sounds too simple, Chuck. Well, it's that way for a purpose. Because if it were otherwise, we wouldn't make it. Amen? So we've all sinned, and this is why how sin entered the world through Adam. So if we go to Romans 5, 13 and 14, it says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. Now think about this. We're talking Adam, Eve, then we're going to go to Abraham and some other people. They were before the law. The law had not been given yet. So sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Well, now what does that mean, Chuck? Everybody before Moses, they just get a pass? No, that's not what it means. It's talking about counted. Counted means as a believer, your ledger is wiped clean. If you're a believer here today, there is no, God is not up there taking account of, oh, we got all these sins here that you're going to have to account for, because Jesus has already taken care of that for us. Amen? And so God's not up there with a ledger counting our sins. But it says, sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Well, who was the type of the one who was to come? That would be Jesus. Because he's going to come as a man. And he's going to be a man who knew no sin. It's going to become sin for us. Amen? So the NIV, it reads a little bit this way. I like to read from different translations to get an overall perspective. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. We're going to get into this in just a second. For until the law, and then here's the New King James Version. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So God is not writing down all your sins and charging that to your account as a believer. And we understand that. So let's go to Hebrews, how then were people saved? before the law. How does this all work? Well, Hebrews 11 is known as what? The Hall of Faith. We call it the Hall of, instead of the Hall of Fame, it's the Hall of Faith, because it's going to tell you about how all these people had faith and it was credited to them as righteousness. By faith, Abel did what? Offered a more noble sacrifice. Okay. So there's this guy called Melchizedek who appears in Genesis, and the Bible talks about there's no beginning and there's no end to this guy. Yet Abraham worshiped him and gave him a tenth. So somewhere in here, this guy Melchizedek had revealed to the people before Moses that, hey, there is sacrifice coming. Abraham, take your son, the only son. Wait. I was just testing you to see if you were willing, if you believe me. Actually, if you believe me. Because if you truly believe me, then you would kill your son and you would know that I would raise him up. But you know what? I've seen what you've done, Abraham. You've come this far. You have not withheld it. You've pulled the knife back. I said, withhold it, because what did he say? God will provide himself a sacrifice as a sign to come. Amen. So we see this guy Melchizedek. So somehow they knew, and I'm not a great theologian on that, but there's a lot of stuff you want to research that you can. But by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah. And then I got a blank here. By faith, put your name in there. Insert your name. By faith, Maria. By faith, Ron. By faith, Lynn, Joe, Jamie, all of us. By faith. So it's always been by faith. And this is where the church gets off base. We got to do something. We got to work. It's never been by works. It's always been by faith. Faith in what? Faith in him. It's a gift from God, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. As we move on, Romans 4:8 says this, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute or count sin. If you're a believer here today, you are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because God is not going to see you. You're not going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, give account of your life. Give account of everything you ever did, everything bad. It's not like we talked about that movie reel that's going to play in front of everybody. And, oh, that's my life. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Wow. Oh, my God. The movie reel is gone. So far as he removed our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more. And that's something we can't even fathom, because we don't forget. You did me wrong, Jonathan, 10 years ago. You remember that time? And I've never forgotten that. We're the ones who don't forget. And we say, how can God do that? And this is where I talk about, we're going to spend the rest of eternity trying to fathom that. Fathom that grace. And try to understand it. And it's beyond our understanding. How we can be... No sin is imputed to us. Our slate is clean. God is not up there with a ledger. It's clean. The ledger is blank, so we say. So Romans 5:15 says this, but the free gift, what it cost, how much does it cost? It cost him everything. How much does it cost you? Free. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, now we're talking about the impact of one. Adam had a profound impact. And we're not going to sit here, us men, and say, I wouldn't have done that. We all would have done what he did. You know, and that's the thing. If we look at the story of Adam and Eve, and don't ever forget this, God always pursues us. We don't pursue him. Adam was afraid and he went and hid. Right? So Eve took of the fruit, gave some to Adam who was standing beside her. Okay? So we said, well, why does the scripture say it entered through Adam? How, I thought Eve was the one who ate first. Because Adam is the one who is responsible. Adam was formed first, then the woman. Adam is the spiritual leader. As a man, you are the spiritual leader of your family, and you better take that seriously. Amen? Okay. If your family is thriving, if your family is successful, if your family is at peace, as a lot of families are not, then it goes back to the man. Where's the man? Is he worshiping the Lord? Is he following the Lord? Or is he leading his family down a really bad path? So it's interesting that God goes looking for Adam and Adam hid. And remember this. He says, where are you, Adam? God's pursuing him. Where are you, Adam? And Adam said, well, I hid because I'm naked. And remember what God said? He says, who told you you were naked? Because here Adam and Eve, they're standing there in all their nakedness before the Lord. And God never condemned them. God never said, you need to go put clothes on and cover yourself. No, this is the way God created us. Naked and unashamed. And then we lose that. And then Satan enters in and says, you need to go atone for your sins. The first religion, we talked about it. Go get some fig leaves and cover up. The first religion ever. As if we can atone for our own. And then God said, no. I'm going to go sacrifice, kill animals, innocent blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Pointing to the impact of one, Jesus Christ, to come. So remember, God's pursuing us, always pursuing us. Until the day you die, he will pursue even the unbeliever till the day they don't take a last breath. They take their last breath. How can God love the world so much that he gave his only begotten son? Because I can't even love the world like that. And he says here, much more, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. And remember, we studied what that word justified means. It means you have been set apart. You have been declared righteous. That's what that word means. You have been declared righteous by God. You're the sheep. The rest of the world is the goats. We know what happens at the end. And so we have been declared righteous. And for the judgment following one trespass, for the free gift following brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who created Adam? God did. So God himself is going to justify us now. He's going to come and justify us and give us his grace. And 1 Corinthians says this, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. All who believe. Amen. Romans 5, 18 through 21. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Amen. So what is here again, what is disobedience? And here again, we all hate that word obey, right? We all hate that word. You need to obey me, Maria. How's that going over for you? Yeah. I can see it right now. So wait till after the service. You'll find out how that's going for you. Yeah. But no, we hate that word obey. And I told my park ranger class last week, I said, I don't know how I made it 10 years in the military. Go here, do this, do it now, do it this way, don't do it that way. And we hate that word obey. And so when we think about all the commandments of God, and this is where we don't want to get back under the law. because we never were under the law. The nation, the Jewish nation, was not. But if we think about the 613 commandments, because usually we only think about 10, but there's another 603. And if we have broken one, we have broken all. And when we think about all of that, we say, well, how in the world is it possible for somebody to be obedient? Well, and then when we learn what Hebrews talks about and other passages in the scripture, they did not enter into the land because of their disobedience, because of their unbelief. So you have become obedient in God and to God when you believe. It's that simple. The gospel is very simple. We're the ones who try to complicate it. Well, you didn't obey God at this time in your life, Bill. Therefore, that's why you're not having luck nowadays. Or, you know, you disobeyed God years ago and you're having to pay for it. No, that's not true. That's what the world thinks. That's called karma or whatever they want to say. What goes around comes around. That's the world's philosophy. That's how we think. You know, oh, you didn't do very good on your report card, so you don't get the cookie. That's not God. God says, I'm going to give you the cookie even though you didn't do well. You can flunk out of class and I'm still going to give you the cookie. Why? Because you're mine. Because you're my kid and I'm a good father. And I reward those that don't even deserve to be rewarded, because if we deserve, what do we all deserve? We all deserve to go to hell. That's what we deserve. But the free gift is God's grace through Jesus, man. Amen. Now watch this. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. Whoa. So why would you want more law? More law. The law came in to increase the trespass. So when we look at the law of Moses, we're like, well, there's no way. There's no way I can attain to that. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. I came to fulfill that law. So the law came in to increase the trespass. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So you can't out-sin grace. You can't out-sin God. God says, look, I'm still reaching out to you. You know, David, that was a horrible thing you did, taking Bathsheba and then having sex with her and getting her pregnant and then going and killing her husband. That was a horrible thing you did. But I'm still here because you're still mine. You're still mine, and I still have a future for you. And we think, how can he do that? This guy, what he did was so terrible. Well, how can he forgive anybody? But by the blood, amen? So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to what? Eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians says this, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone, the ministry of death, have you ever heard the Ten Commandments called that? The ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites cannot even gaze at Moses' face because of the glory. You remember Moses went up on the mountain? He was given the Ten Commandments. When he came back down, his face was shining so bright, they had to put a veil over it. And so this is what Paul's referring to, is that time when he received the ministry of death carved out on stone, and yet that was so marvelous and glorious that they couldn't even look at Moses' face. He says, will not the ministry of the Spirit have an even more glory? For there was glory in the ministry of condemnation. What's the ministry of condemnation? The law. The law condemns us. The law says you're guilty. Jesus comes in and says, you're not guilty by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. And that would be Jesus Christ. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Amen. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law came in to show us, here's your shortcomings. And it came in to point to the one who was to come. Because one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and now Jesus, one man, has redeemed us. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 3:4, it says, such is the confidence that we have. Confidence? You guys have confidence? You ever been confident in something? Only to have your confidence knocked right out of you? Maybe because we were trying to do it based on our performance. You ever say, who won the Masters? Like Schaefer or whatever the guy won the Masters? You know, I watched a little bit of that. Unbelievable. But what happens? He comes out the next day and he shanks one and his confidence is broken. Or any sports figure who gets up there and they haven't hit a ball in 12 strikeouts, their confidence is shaken. Or a basketball player who shot 10 or 12 times and is confident, because his confidence is shaken because his performance is down. That doesn't apply to us as believers. It's his performance, not ours. Our confidence is never shaken because our confidence is in him. He's perfect. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's holy. He's blameless. Therefore, that's us, attributed to us. So we cannot be less than perfect in him. And when he looks at you, he says, Bill, you are perfect. And Bill's going, well, I'm not, Chuck. Well, God says you are. And Jennifer, you are righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous sometimes. Well, God says you are. Why? Because you're his. You're born again. You're a new creation. So this is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. So we can boldly approach him. We can sit there and say, Abba, Father. You know, there's nothing between us anymore. His justification has brought us peace. We have peace through the justification of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to worry about God being angry at us anymore or God being disappointed in us anymore. And we talked about this before. God can never be disappointed in you. How is that possible? Because he knows all things. He knew what you were going to do before you did it. He told Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter's like, no, I will not deny you. And then Peter went out and denied him. And then here again, who went after who? After Jesus resurrected, he went and found Peter. Peter didn't go and find Jesus. Peter's probably thinking, oh God, he's done with me now. Because I was a coward. And Jesus said, he even prayed for him. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And it didn't. Even though at that one moment he said, I don't know the man. He was in the flesh trying to save his own flesh. How was his performance at that time? Many of us in church today would say, oh, well, he lost his salvation. No, he did not. It's impossible to lose your salvation. Because what is your salvation based on? Your performance or his performance? Amen. So such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward our God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. This is where that new covenant comes in. And when people used to talk about new covenant, it used to freak me out. What about the old covenant? We can't just throw that away. But no, there is a better covenant. And Jesus has made that covenant with us. He says, I'm going to take that old heart of yours, that old hardened heart, and I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, a soft heart. Like he said, unless you become as these little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So as long as we're standing up there beating our chest and saying, we're doing it. We're not doing anything. Our sufficiency is from him and has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but the spirit. If you want to live by the letter of the law, you're going to die by the letter of the law. That's the condemnation. The law brings condemnation. For the letter does what? Kills. But the spirit gives life. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says this, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're actually the opposite. We're a slave to righteousness. You know, we're actually the opposite of slave to sin. We're a slave to righteousness. We're free. We're free from having to do certain things, talk a certain way, walk a certain way, go to a certain church, not go to a certain church. We're free. Free to sin? No, free from sin. Are we going to sin? Of course. And when we do, don't make the mistake of saying, oh, God's angry with me now. He's out to get me. He's going to bust me up. No, he's begging. He's saying, hey, come here. I knew you were going to mess up. You're still mine. Nothing can separate you from the love that God has. Nothing. So after we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49 says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, Jesus Christ. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. Amen. And lastly, I just wanted to close out with Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that. I love that because we go around sometimes just carrying these heavy burdens of how am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? And when on days we're not doing too good, we feel that condemnation. We feel like, and that's coming from the accuser. That's coming from the enemy. Fear is coming from the enemy. Condemnation is coming from the enemy. All that has come on you is coming from the enemy. Satan's sitting there going, you messed up again. God cannot possibly love you. You keep doing the same sin over and over again. What's wrong with you? You must not be saved. All these accusations come in, that flesh that Paul says we war against. And he says, you know, it's not I that do this. It's that flesh. It's that sin. This is not me. You know, when the Bible talks about we actually don't sin anymore, I'm like, how is that possible? Because every sin, past, present, and future, has been forgiven. Even the present sins, even our sins in the future are forgiven. Some things we haven't even done yet. How is that even possible? That's the grace of the Lord. That's the grace in the knowledge of Him. So we can glory in that. Walk out of here not condemned. We're not under condemnation. We're under the Spirit. We're not under the law. We're under freedom. We just follow our hearts because Jesus had given it. A lot of pastors say, no, you can't tell them. You can't tell them follow their hearts because Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, we've been given a new heart. Therefore, we can follow our heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I think that's Matthew. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, what? If my heart's bad, I hope He doesn't do that. Well, your heart is not bad. Your heart is now good after Him. You are a new creation. It's like somebody we were talking this morning took a vaccine. Remember the vaccine that everybody was freaking out about? And so they took the vaccine and they put it and they stuck it in the arm. And it's like Jesus transfused His DNA into us. So now we are righteous, holy, blameless before Him. And it can't be undone. Once it's done, it's done. So quit worrying about your performance and just rest. We need rest. Everybody need rest? Rest in knowing that we have peace with our God. We are justified by our belief in Jesus Christ, a free gift. Amen? Amen. God, thank you for another time just to delve into your word, Lord, and to understand how much you love us, Lord, and I think we'll spend the rest of our life just trying to fathom the depth of that, you know, and just the grace that we have been given, Lord, and just, Lord, we just pour out our hearts to you and just say, Lord, take us, lead us. Lead us beside the still waters. Lead us into the green pastures. Lead us to where we have rest, Lord. We need rest from this world. We need rest from what's going on around us. We need rest from fear. We need freedom from fear. We need freedom from anything that's coming against us, Lord, and is trying to convict us and destroy us. We need to understand that our salvation is in you and you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.